last week's parasha, Parashas Nasa, although it seems very long, it's only because the last half of it is repeated, but nonetheless, there's a lot of very important lessons to be taken out from Parashas Nasa. I think the beginning of the parasha, the Torah describes the mitzvah of sending away a mitzvah, or a zav. You have to send them out of the camp, you have to send them, a mitzvah goes out of all three camps, he gets really complete isolation. And over there the pasuk says that Vayishalchu b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people sent out the people that needed to be sent out, kasha tziva Hashem, like Hashem commanded them. So if you look in the Medrash, the obvious question is, yeah, we always do what Hashem commanded us. What's the extra credit for doing what Hashem commanded us over here? So I think the lesson of the Torah is teaching us something very valuable, is that many times it's difficult to remove people, or maybe ideologies from our community. It's not easy. There are people that live amongst us, and it's hard to have them removed from the community, although they're harmful and they're dangerous to the people around us. At the end of the day, it's not so easy just to kick people out or excommunicate people or ask people nicely to leave. But the Torah is saying over here, you have an obligation. It's a shayla, who's an obligation on? The tzibur, the bezdin. That's a discussion in Paiskim. But there's an obligation to remove these people because they're harmful. A baal lashon hara is someone who can't be in society. He's harmful to the people. He's harmful to the spiritual well-being of the people around him. The Torah mandates that we remove him from amongst us. Although it might not be easy to do, it's not the easiest thing to do is to kick people out and to be what we'd call not so friendly, but the Torah is demanding of us that we have to be able to fulfill this mitzvah. And by doing this mitzvah, we're really improving our own lives. And this is something that Klal Yisrael over our last couple of years have gotten much better with. For many years in Klal Yisrael, we've left topics or sometimes undesirable to talk about topics in our community. We kind of just made believe they don't exist. Let's not deal with them. Let's not deal with abuse. Let's not deal with drugs. Let's just not deal with it. And the Torah is telling you, that's not an eitzah. Not to deal with it is not going to help you. You have to deal with it. You got to tackle the uncomfortable situations and you got to send it out. You got to get rid of it. You got to figure out ways to educate, to teach, to be involved, and remove it because it's harmful to our communities. So the Torah is over here discussing, so obviously something more spiritual. A mitzvah, these people are spiritually dangerous to the community because they're lashon hara. But likewise in our community, when we come across situations with things that are physically harmful, and both spiritual and physical harmful to the generation, to the community, to the children, we have to remove them. And I think Klal Yisrael is getting much better, Baruch Hashem, at this. You know, years past, things were very tabooed in our community. We didn't discuss things. Now we're much more open. We talk about things. But we still have a whole way to get there, to get a lot better in discussing the issues that we have in our community. Forget the Goyish community. In our community. I think this is the lesson from last week's parsha, that sometimes you have to do it. You got to send it out. You got to send this person out because he's harmful. It's harmful to himself and it's harmful to those around us. And Klal Yisrael is being praised for the fact that they did it. So you see clearly we could do it, and sometimes we have to do it, although extremely uncomfortable. It's our duty and our obligation to preserve Klal Yisrael's integrity, to sometimes have to remove people or ideologies from among us. Then the Torah goes on to discuss an interesting parasha about stealing from a ger. Gezelman ha-ger, you steal from regular Jew. It's one set of rules, you steal from a ger, it's a different set of rules. What's the difference between stealing from a ger and stealing from a regular Jew? Guy was Jewish his whole life. So the Sforno says you can't get a bigger Chal Hashem than stealing from a ger. Now this guy joins Judaism, he's all excited about Judaism, he thinks Judaism is great, and one day he shows up, he's out $100, someone ripped him off. The greatest Chal Hashem that can exist in the world is to be Geizel from a ger. Why? Because his perception is very different than a regular person. A regular Jew, we grew up, we know that the Jewish people have flaws. As a nation, we're not perfect, we know our neighbors have flaws, we'll be quicker to tell you our neighbors' flaws than our own flaws, but we know there's issues. You know, a ger, he comes in, he's fresh, he's excited about Judaism, he thinks everyone keeps Kol Torah Kuloi. That's why the Gemara says in Yavam, is Kashim Geim Lisrael Kesapachas. That Geim are not so good for us, they make us look bad. They're all into everything, and they're fired up, and they're excited, and we're like, old news, you know, don't get so excited, it's a chumrah, don't be, you know. But so this guy comes to Judaism, and the first day he's there, he's all excited, and some guy does a Ponzi scheme with him, a nice, you know, from guy. Can you imagine his feeling towards Judaism, his outlook towards Yadus? It's an unbelievable Chal Hashem, nice this one. So there are those who say that today, although there are Gerim today, you know, I happen to know quite a few Gerim. I get a lot of chizik from them. I always tell people, you don't have too many Gerim friends, because it's in the Torah to be mean to Gerim. So if you have too many Gerim friends, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Because you might be over the system of not being nice to a ger. So, you know, have a couple of friends, not too many, because unless you're talking a very good friend. But in any case, Rabbi Fran writes from his Rebbe that Bizman Azeh, we live in a generation where every Jew has the same level, that people look at him and they say, oh, you're a reflection of God. So if you're going to act inappropriately, you're going to make a Chal Hashem, you're going to cheat your neighbor, you're going to cheat your business partner, it's going to be the same level of Chal Hashem. So he writes that we have a big achrayis, and we walk in the streets, you know, when we do business, we interact with people, we're walking Kiddush Hashem, or worse, Achilul Hashem. It's a big achrayis. You know, my Tamidim used to tell me when they drive fast on the car, in the car they take off the yarmulke when they cut people off, so it won't be Achilul Hashem. I said, do you rip your payos off also? You know, come on, it doesn't. They know who you are. You look Jewish, let's be honest, right? You know, I spoke to girls once about it. I gave a shmooze to a group of girls. I said, listen, you're the only people in the summer that look like you're either Muslim or Jewish. You know, they kind of know who you are in the summer. You guys are dressed quite, you know, covering a lot. If you're a walking Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem, you can't really deny it. We're not at a point in time where we can say, well, I don't look Jewish. You look Jewish, you smell Jewish, you give off the impression that you're Jewish, you're Jewish. So now that we're that, we have to realize that everything we do is either going to be a Kiddush Hashem, which is a great thing, or horribly a Chil Hashem, which is very scary. That's the lesson from the Gezel HaGer. When a person steals from the Ger, it's such a it's a heightened Chil Hashem. And many times in life, people think, oh, the Jew's a good guy, he's an honest guy, you know, he lives a good life, and then all of a sudden he does something that's morally incorrect. It really leaves the guy for a spin. He says, well, what? I thought you were such a good guy. I thought you're part of the good group, and all of a sudden now I see you're not. You're like everyone else. You cheat, you lie, you steal. It's a very, very, very severe level of Chilul Hashem.
So why is Gezel HaGoy different?
Yeah, right. If you steal from a guy, it's different than you steal from a ger. It's an interesting halacha. We find that the Torah Rashi quotes a Gemara that says, what's the connection between the Parsha of Saita and the Parsha right before it? So Rashi says, because if a person doesn't give matanos to the Kayin, he's going to ultimately end up by the Kayin because his wife is going to be a Saita. So the obvious kasha is, because you're cheap, that means your wife is going to be Mezana. What does that have to do with your wife? You're cheap, so you don't give your matanos. That's going to mean that your wife is going to then have a relationship she's not supposed to? Where's the connection? So I think I said this last year, and I found out later it's talking a Torah to Mima on Chumash. He says the word is no. The point is, if you're not going to give matanos to the Kayin, why not? It's because you're cheap. It's more than just being cheap. You're self-absorbed. You only care about yourself. You don't care about the Kayin. You don't care that he needs to feed his family. You don't care that he has obligations that he has to have. You're paying him, you're giving him his matanis, which is deserved to him because he's being a Kayin, is the way you give to others. You're a very self-absorbed person. You don't care about anyone else. When a person is that self-absorbed, it's not the pshat that, you know, it's a punishment that his wife is going to be mizana. It's a reality. When a person is that self-absorbed, why would his wife want to be with him? You don't really create a very good environment for a relationship. People that are self-absorbed don't make good spouses. So therefore, Mimela, his wife, is going to go out and look for things that she's not supposed to be doing. Because she's not finding fulfillment in a relationship. Because you're all about yourself. You're totally focused on only you. If you think about other people besides for you, you'd give to the Kayin. And you'd probably be a better husband. So the fact that you have this attitude in your mind that, you know, the Kayin will be okay. It's about me. It's all about me. When we become very self-absorbed, we don't become very good spouses. So therefore, the Torah is telling us that if a person is going to be cheap with his matnas kahuna, it's going to lead his wife to go find, you know, some other excitement in her life, is because she's not happy. The reason why she's not happy is because you're not focusing on anyone else except for yourself. Self-absorbed people don't make very good mates in a relationship. We find the parasha of Nazir. The parasha of Nazir is by far one of the most complicated parashas in the Torah. There's even a steer in Rambam, steers in Gemara. Is Nazir good or is Nazir bad? Is it a good thing to be a Nazir? Is it a bad thing to be a Nazir? Is it praised or is it looked down upon? The psukim themselves are not clear. The pasuk says that after the Nazir completes the Nazir, he brings a karmachatos. So the impression of that is he did something wrong. You only bring a karmachatos if you sinned. So that those who learn it means if b'sheigeg, he became tameh in the middle of his Nazir. But the Gemara in Tainis is mashma. Not like that, the Gemara in Tainis is mashma that no, every single time a person finishes his Nazir, he must bring a karmachatos. For what sin? From the fact that he withheld from himself pleasures of the world, he has to bring a chatos. That was an incorrect behavior. So is Nazir good or is Nazir bad? It seems like a very righteous way of living, to be pirish, to separate. So what exactly is this? So the Nesiv Shalom and the Slonim Rebbe writes that it's not really the best way to serve Hashem. The preferred way to serve Hashem is not the Nazir's way of living life. The preferred way to serve Hashem is take all the gashmis of the world and instead of blocking it out, use it for ruchnis. It's not to say, well, because there's so much gashmis in the world, I'm just going to sit by myself and eat bread and water and detach myself from the world around me. That's incorrect. The proper way of saying is take the wine and use it for simcha, use it for kedusha, use it for kiddush, and use it for sheva brachas, and use it to bring you simcha. Use the gashmi is for ruchnis. The nazir in the parasha is someone who's beyond that. He's so far gone that the only way for him to manage in this world is to go to the extreme level. But that's not the right way to live. The right way of living is not the extreme left. That's not the way to live. You're supposed to take the world and use it all to form some form of a happy medium in the world of both ruchnis and gashmis. And therefore he explains that although sometimes the Nazir might be righteous, it's not really the proper etiquette or the way to live our lives. We're supposed to take the wine and incorporate it into our life and make it work with our life instead of blocking it out. Now with technology now, you find different, you know, thoughts in the schools. I always tell people that the approach is not to block out technology and say, let's make believe it doesn't exist. You're going to lose that battle miserably. You're not going to win. You have to accept what it is and figure out a way to use the technology in a positive way. I just saw a bumper sticker, you know, Torah Anytime, God's reason for the internet. That's the pshat. You take those things that seem to be gashmias and you use them for ruchnias. And that's really what the lesson is, that the perfect balance in life is not this extreme way of saying, well, I'm going to look at wine as negative, I have nothing to do with wine, I can completely disconnect myself. That's not correct. You have to take the gashmias that Hashem gave us and figure out ways to use it for ruchnias. And that was really the mahalach of chassidim throughout the generations. They took all that was physical and turned it into spiritual. I think lefizeh we can answer something which we talked about last week. We always said the Parshas Bamidbar is always read before Shavuos, but Parshas Nasa is also always read after Shavuos. What's the connection to Parshas Nasa after Shavuos? I was thinking many times after Shavuos, after Kabbalah, people get all excited. They learn Torah, they feel Torah, all of a sudden they want to do all these extreme chumras. I want to do that, and I want to do this. I want to, detach myself from the world, and I'm just going to sit in a basement and learn all 20 hours a day. The Torah is saying, look at the Parsha of Nazir. That's not correct. That's not the way to live life. Don't become an extreme on either side of things. Not extreme left, not extreme right. As the Rambam always writes, the middle of the path is the way to go. So after Shavuos, sometimes we get, and it's a good thing to be excited about doing mitzvahs, that's a beautiful thing, about Torah, but sometimes we go a little too far. And we have to realize that extremism doesn't work in this religion. That's not what it's about. It's not going to work if a person says, I'm going to be extreme about this, I'm not going to eat for the next 3 days. It's just not going to work, and you're going to end up losing. So the reason why we read Parshas Nasa right after Shavuos is to realize this idea of this balancing. That the Nazir teaches us, you have to be able to balance the Gashmias with the Ruchnias, make the Gashmias into Ruchnias. But just to completely separate the two is not very successful. In the end of the Parsha, the Torah reads the Parsha of the Nesiim. It's interesting, why was Nachshon merited to bring the first carbon? So we know Nachshon, he was Nachshon. He jumped into the river. He was Maisa Nefesh. He showed Klai so that we're going to cross the Yamsuf. He deserves to be the first one to bring of the Nesiim. But who brought second? Yisachar. Yisachar wasn't the oldest. He was of the younger brothers. Why did Yisachar merit to be the second to bring? So the Arachayim HaKadosh writes, because Yisachar represents Torah. Okay, so what? So Pashup Shad, you say, we have ideology. We always show respect to the Torah. So therefore, since Yisachar represented Torah, so he went second. Possibly, I think you can explain maybe a little deeper, that what was the whole idea of the Mishkan? The whole idea of the Mishkan was Ashuras HaShchina. Bring down the Shechina in this world, Hashem should have a place to live. How do we do that today? We do that with Torah. When we learn Torah, we bring down the Shechina. So Yisachar is the one who brings down the Shechina through his Torah. He's the one to be second to build the Mishkan, to bring the Karbanos, because he's doing what the purpose of this Mishkan is. This Mishkan is an embodiment of Hashem's Shechina, and Yisachar is the one who brings it down to his Liman HaTorah, and that's why he merited to be the second. And who was the third? There was Zevulun. Why Zevulun, as we speak about so many times here? Because of that relationship of Yisachar Zevulun. That relationship of the one who supports the Torah and the one who learns Torah is really a real meaningful relationship in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just, it's a nice thing he supports Torah. He was next to go in line because he supports Torah. He was right after Yisachar in the lines of bringing for the Karbanos. But the godless of what Yisachar did was really Yisachar set a trend in Klal Yisrael. After Nachshon brought his carbon, Yisachar was presented with an unbelievable dilemma. Should I try to top Nachshon's carbon? This is a dilemma we're presented with all the time in life. Should I try to outdo my neighbor? Right, he made a bar mitzvah last week, I'm making a bar mitzvah this week. So I have two choices. I can outdo him, or I can just, do similar to what he did. He made a chasana last week, he's redoing his front steps, so I have my choices. So the Mefarshim say that Yisachar decided he's not going to do that. He didn't want to create a kina amongst the Shvatim, that I outdid, yours is better, mine is better. So he decided, we're all going to be the same. And Kachave, after that, they all went the same. If you read, right, the second half of Parshas Nos, it's all repetition. So any bar mitzvah kid who thinks he has such a hard parsha, he's not really true. It's the same sukkim over and over again. It repeats itself. Because each nasi brought the exact same carbon. Why? Because they took the lesson from Yisachar. Yisachar said, no, this is bad. What's going to end up happening here is we're all going to try to outdo each other. And of course, this was L'shem Shemayim. This wasn't for their own private covet. This was for the honor of the Mishkan. But we know the way things work. We as human beings like to outdo our neighbors and make ourselves look better than them. So Yisachar said, I'm going to stop this right here. I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen. I'm going to be doing the exact same thing as Nachshon did. And I think that's the pshat, and the reason why Yisachar was able to do this is because Yisachar lived Torah. Yisachar represented Torah. He saw what's really important in life. He embodied the real essence of life. He knew what we're living for and what's important. And therefore Yisachar said, no, we're going to stop this right now. You know, and this is a problem that we still today have in Klal Yisrael, right? Many years ago, they made these takanas for chasanas. It lasted, I think, about 4 minutes. And then the first chasana came up, and someone gave a heter to go out and do whatever they wanted, and the whole takanas fell apart. But it's an interesting lesson that the Nesi'im were teaching us when we were doing something with Shema. The Mishkan, this wasn't their own house, but they realized that if we're going to start outdoing each other, it's going to lead to a breach in unity. And the whole idea over here was achdus. And the way we keep achdus is by not trying to outdo the other person, but really trying to stay unified and uniform. By doing this, Klal Yisrael will have success with the Mishkan, and it'll accomplish what I wanted to be, which was a makom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell when Klal Yisrael gets along. Okay, we're back in Gittin. We haven't learned it in a while. I think the last time we learned Gittin was the week before Pesach. We had Rabbi Bera Wein joined us that week. It was the week before Pesach. So we actually learned the Mishnah then. I'm assuming everyone remembers that, so we don't have to chazer the Mishnah. But we'll just do a quick chazer anyways, even though it was, I think, about 8 weeks ago. But we'll chazer just for the sake of chazer, because chazer is important.
For me.
I need chazer. The Mishnah says like this, and the Mishnah says like this. Amar lo kintzi shtar chavzeh. A man goes over to his wife, and he gives her a paper. And he tells her, here's a bill. Here's the phone bill. Or she finds something behind her. No, she's sitting in a chair, and she pulls back, and all of a sudden there's a piece of paper there. She pulls out the piece of paper. She reads it, and lo and behold, it's a divorce. This get is not chal, until the husband goes again and resets the words to her, hi gitich, this is your get. The mashmais of the Mishnah is he doesn't have to make a new mais in the Sina. He doesn't have to give the get again. The get was given, it was in Hirishos, and it is in Hirishos. She's holding on to it. But he has to say these magical words of, hi gitich, this is your get. And without that, the get is no good. Not only is the get no good, ain't a get means it's not even a get to the Rabbanon. Ain't a get means it's b'chlam, not a get. Not the rice and not the Rabbanon. It's meaningless, it's countless, it counts for nothing. The Mishnah goes on. What happened? Nasa b'yada v'yishena. This guy's a real coward. He's scared of his wife, so he gives her the get when she's sleeping. So while she's sleeping, he walks over to her and he, you know, puts the get into her hand. Ni'ura, she wakes up, she reads the Hariya Gita. What a way to wake up from a nap, right? She wakes up from the nap, opens the paper that's stuck, you know, in her arm. She reads it, lo and behold, it's a get. So the Mishnah, in a get, that's also not a good get, until he says to her, Hagitich. So clearly what we see from the Mishnah over here, that there's some din, that the woman has to be aware at the time of the Nesina, or at some time along the way, that this is her divorce. It's not sufficient for her to figure it out on her own by opening it up and reading the words of the get. She has to hear from the husband, or maybe from the Edim, that this is the divorce and this is going to be Chalos Gerushin. The obvious question is why? We know Gerushin is the exception to the rule where you don't need her consent. If it was something that you needed her consent, like a sale or a kiddushin, I understand. You can't sell something against the person's willfulness. But over here, we don't need her consent. We know gerushin is one of those things that we don't need her at all. So if we don't need her at all, so why does she have to know what it is? Just drop it in her backyard and you're done. That's what the Torah says, v'nasim b'yada, and you're finished. So I put it in her hand, I'm good. Why does there have to be any amira at all?
Why do you need the last case in the Mishnah?
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the different cases in the Mishnah, hopefully sometime today. And then hopefully you'll start the Gemara. There's a Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni. The Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni is Mavur. Let's say you didn't say to her Shtar Chayv. Let's say you just walked over to her. You're awake and she's awake and you handed her a piece of paper and you sit there just smiling and you say to her, have a nice day. You didn't say anything. You didn't say it's a Shtar Chayv. You didn't say it's a bill. You said nothing. So the Mishnah is Mavur that would be no good. That you have to say something. The Mishnah over there does have a machloek, is what happens if you're talking about getting divorced. You're saying, listen, I think, you know, it's time we cut ties, you know, you'll get this, I'll get that, and then you hand her a piece of paper, you don't say anything. So that's a sugi that we've discussed many times called a sukin bais inyan, that you were discussing the issue of divorce, then you give a piece of paper without specifying that it is a divorce. So that's a machloek is in the Mishnayis over there. Can we assume that she understands it's a divorce or not? But clearly we see that over here it might be worse, because you didn't say nothing, you said something wrong. If you give her a paper and say nothing, so then we can start debating, she'll figure out it means get. But you didn't say get, you told her it's a bill. So she's not thinking divorce whatsoever, so over here it's clearly worse. But the Gemara says enough, and then, hey, Gittin, what happens if he's about to give the get to the wife? He tells the Tuedim, guys, listen, I'm about to divorce my wife. This paper I'm giving her, I'm telling you guys it's a divorce, I'm telling her it's the phone bill. So the Gemara says that's good. Even though, as far as she was concerned, she was as clueless as anyone else was, because the husband didn't tell her what it is, but since the husband turned to the Edom before and told the Edom, listen, I'm giving her a divorce, that's good enough for Gerushin. Okay, that's all the Gemaras we need to know to now to understand this Mishnah. So now the question is, so what's Pshat in the Mishnah? Why is it that if you say to the lady, it's a Shtar Chayv, why is it no good? What's the Chasam? So Tosfos learns over here, number two, Tosfos learns, But a lady is divorced against her will. So if she's divorced against her will, why does she have to know anything? You still have to say to her, this is your get. And then you're permitted to the whole world. Because she has to know that she's divorced. And she shouldn't come home the next night. The Gemara makes a drasha in other places in Shas that you're not allowed to divorce a lady who's a shaita. A woman who's not 100%, she doesn't understand. You can't give her a get. Why? Because it says to her, send her away, and she's not supposed to come back. If she doesn't have enough understanding of what does it mean to be divorced, you can't divorce her. So Taisus seems to be applying that here also. When you give the get to a lady, you tell her it's a bill. So as far as she's concerned, it's a bill. Great. So tonight she plans on coming home and making supper.
In that case, she read it, so she knows what it is.
Right. That's only afterwards. Again, when you gave the get, she didn't know what it was. At the time of the giving of the get, it was unaware of what is going on over here. So according to Taisvis, the problem over here is that she doesn't know that she's supposed to get the message and not show up. So how does it help that the Edom know? So Taisvis says, the Edom will probably tell her. If someone knows, so they'll relay the message to her. They'll tell her about what this paper says. That's the way Taisvis seems to learn the whole Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Asher Weiss is bothered with two parts of Taisvis. First of all, he says, that's not really the case of Meshachav and Nechazeres. The case of the Gemara of Meshachav and Nechazeres is a woman who can't comprehend the idea of divorce. She lacks the mental capability to realize what does it mean not to come home. That's a shaita. This lady doesn't lack anything. She just doesn't know because you didn't tell her that's what's going on. If you were to be honest with her and not be such a chicken and tell her, listen, I am divorcing you, she'll say, great, I won't be back tomorrow. But because she's asleep, or because you told her it's a bill, she just doesn't know that. That's not the same thing as a lady who can't understand the divorce. That's the first kasha that Rabbi Asher Weiss has on this Taisus. He thinks it's a big jump between a shaita and a lady who was just told that she got a bill in the mail. That's not the same thing. This lady with the bill, she can understand what divorce is. You just didn't give her the full story. As opposed to the lady who's a shaita, she can't comprehend, no matter what you do, no matter how you explain it to her, she doesn't understand what a divorce is. So not necessarily the same case. That's one issue that Rabbi Asher Weiss has with Taisvis. His second issue he has with Taisvis is, what does it help if you tell the Edom? So Taisvis says, Mistoma the Edom will tell the lady. What do you mean Mistoma? It's got to come from the husband. You got to know that she knows not to come back. You can't just hope that someone will relay the message to her, someone will post it, that she'll get the idea. She needs to know that I can't come back. And if I don't hear it directly from the husband, why would that suffice in accomplishing this idea that she knows not to come back?
I'm still bothered, sorry.
Yeah.
I understand the staff goal. You're lying to her, so she gets the document, she thinks that's what it is. But in the other case, you don't say that, and the Mishnah says she read it, she knows.
Which case? The Matzos Me'acharev?
The
Yishena?
Yeah.
Was she sleeping?
Right. So it specifically says she read it.
Right, but at the time when you gave it, she didn't know that. Right, right.
She turned around, she opened it, she read.
Right, that was all afterwards. Because we're going
to
see, hopefully, sometime.
Lying to her and tell her this is a shtarcho. Okay.
Because at the time when you gave her the get, she did not know what this was because she was sleeping. Right.
She's not coming back while she's sleeping. When she wakes up, she found the get. She read it.
So the question is that a problem? Because there was the big question we have to figure out is there a time problem?
Why would the Mishnah say she read it? It should be irrelevant if she read it.
Hey, Nachnabi, right? Wouldn't make a difference, right?
Why does it help us? You think that the Edom are going to tell her? If the Indian is Taisus
has this big chiddush that according to Taisus, the problem is that she needs at some point know that she's divorced.
She'll read it. She'll know.
Right.
At the time of the Nesina. This is what we need to talk about. According to Taisvis, I have to make a nesina to the Isha in a way where it's possible for her to know about this divorce.
At the time of the nesina.
Right. At the time of the nesina. So the fact that she'll read it later is not sufficient.
And the fact that Adin will tell her later also should not be sufficient.
So that's what we got
to
get to.
When you say later,
so that's a big shiloh. That's a big shiloh. We're going to get there right now. Rabbi Asher Weiss, I'm going to contrast two opinions in the Achrayim. Also, Rabbi Asher Weiss can't understand how is it sufficient that the Edom will relay the message. It has to come from the husband. If Soloveitchik went the opposite direction, Soloveitchik said, let's go the other way. What would happen if he tells the Edom, listen guys, I'm going to divorce my wife in about 2 minutes, you guys are all ready, huddle, break, let's go. He gives her the get and says, Shtar Chayv. And the two Edom drop dead. They never told the lady a word. If Soloveitchik says, the get still chal. Now, how do you understand that? So if you look over here on the bottom, on 2b, in the left corner, Soloveitchik writes, in Shuvi Rav, L'divreim Nira, Shohidas Habalo Edim Shunosan Laget Mahani B'nichse Ishtar Zeh, Mishom She'echoyles Ho Edim L'hedia Lo Shezeh Get Oyser Sanasino L'nesina Shal Shiluach. If Soloveitchik understood this Taisvis, that according to Taisvis, it's not the practical idea that she needs to know or not know. How do you understand this Tosfos? Mishal Chavin Echazer. So we would have thought, it means practically, she has to get the message across. If she gets the message across, it gets good. If the message is not relayed clearly to her, it gets no good. So the Chiddush by Eitim is, that even though I didn't really relate, but I'm assuming we'll get there. So we would have learned, that means when it gets there, then they get a Schal. Says the Salvation, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is, you have to make an Asina in a way that it's possible for her to know not to come back. It doesn't have to be that she lemaisa right now does know. And then he writes on the footnote, Rabbeinu Hoysef, Salvechik added, "Tisagi biyecholus so edim lo adiel lo alias neshina shol shluach." It's enough that the edim could notify her about it. Ve'in tzarchei dasi isha b'poyel. Right, that's what he says. Ulchein he megureshes afam edim meisu miyat. Therefore, Salvechik held that according to Tosfos, the din of Mishal Chavin Echazer is not a practical idea that she needs to know not to come back. Because if that would be, this halacha doesn't make any sense. The Edom dead, died, who else is going to tell her? No one else here. The husband's not saying anything, he's a coward. The Edom are dead, who's going to tell this woman? The answer is no one's going to tell this woman. So she's going to come home that night for supper.
But there's as much Yecholus in the case where he just tricks her and there's no Edom and there's no anything. She could find out, maybe she could learn to read Hebrew, maybe she could.
No, at the time of the Nesina, at the time of the Nesina, Rav Salvechik understood that Mishal Chavin Echazer means at the time of the Mais Nesina, when you give a get, you have to give the get in a way that it's possible for her to get the message from this get.
Well, why wouldn't that include that she's sleeping?
Because right now, at the time of the scene, she can't figure it out.
Right now, David hasn't said anything either.
Right, but because they could. You didn't know.
Because she could read it.
No, she can't. She's sleeping. In the box that we're in right now, the Edom know. Now, will the Edom then go on and tell it to her? I don't know. If Salvation will tell you that, that's not my job. My job as a husband is to give a get in a way where the word can get to her. Whether it will or will not is not my job.
Moment,
so
right.
So when you give it to her, you can wake her up. And don't tell her anything. She has a way to know.
How does she know?
She's sleeping.
That's after. That's not at the time of the Nesina. That's a post story. Right now, in this little box.
She reads it.
Well, that's afterwards. She's going to read it later. If she decides to read it later.
She could read it right now.
Not if she's sleeping.
Yes.
But we're not talking about
wake her up.
He could, and if he would, that would be good. But he didn't.
According to
yeah, but it's more than that.
The ability to wake her up right now.
No.
Right now.
But that changes the whole situation.
Why?
Because that changes the box that we're in right now. That's not a yeshama. That's an ura. In a situation of sleeping, when you give a get to a sleeping woman, and you give her a get, right now there's no way for anyone in this situation to know that there's a divorce happening.
Is she divorced? You give it to her and don't say anything?
No.
Why not? She can read it.
Right, because as we learned, that according to Tosfos and other Rishonim, she has to know that this was a... She doesn't. Because again, it has to be at the time of the Nesina. Right, she has to know at the time of giving. Right, you have to connect the Nesina with the idea. We'll need to talk more about it.
Well, they could have told her now. That's why she said, no.
Yes.
You don't read in the sleep.
Correct.
You're talking to sleep, you
know, make sure that he always. So that's another possibility. There's another possibility which we'll discuss in the Rambam Shita, that maybe it's not an other shame. Maybe it's not about her, it's about him. How do we know what this guy wants? Guy walks over to the lady and tells her, here's a phone bill. Do we know what he wants to do? Maybe he chickened out at the last minute and decided to reject the get. So we'll talk about that in another Rishonim in a few minutes. That's Rav Salvechik's Chiddush. And I found, I mentioned this in the share a few weeks ago, I found later that Rav Salvechik didn't back this up with anything. He just said that's what I'm going to say. I found later it's Mefurshat Teres Gittin. The Teres Gittin writes, what would happen if the get ripped up between the time when the Edom notified the lady and the time when the husband told the Edom. Again, 9 o'clock, the husband tells the Edom, I'm about to divorce my wife. He gives her the get. They don't say a word to her. 9:05, the get gets destroyed, ripped, no longer around. So the Torah's getting right, it's not a problem. The get's fine. Why? Because at the time when he gave the get, there was a yecholus to get the idea across to her. Mamish, the idea of salvation. He doesn't bring it as a raya. But it's mamish, this is the salvation suggested in Tosfos, that it's enough to be able to know. Now,
it's because we hold the foal, really.
Right, we would have thought that the din of Mishal Chavin Echazer is not a theoretical, right. It's a lemaisa. You have to know not to come back.
There's real consequences.
Right. According to salvation, it comes out a huge chiddush that it's not about, and he discussed this at length, he has a whole piece in the seventh parak about how to understand the chassad of Mishal Chavin Echazer, where he learns that it's not about necessarily the outcome, about coming home or not coming home, knowing you're divorced, not knowing you're divorced. It has to do with the Nesina. You have to give a get in a way where she, at the time of the Nesina, the get was given in a situation of a matzah that she knows not to come back. Or she could know not to come back.
It's only explained
within Tosfos. This is all in Tosfos. This is how Salvation Gunn's Tosfos. Right. Right. This is the way he thinks Tosfos would come out. Now, so that's Tosfos' sheet in the Sugya. Let's see some of the other Rishonim a little bit very quickly and how to understand Tosfos. And how to understand the Mishnah of what's wrong with the Shtar Chayv. The truth is, we mentioned last time also that there's a famous Tosfos in Kedushin, the second paragraph. Tosfos in Kedushin says, there's Machlokes Tanoim, if you do Maimer, can you do Maimer against the will of the Isha? So Rebbe Shita is Maimer, which is Kedusha de Rabbanan. It's a Kedushan equivalent of Bal Korcho. You can give it against her will. So Tais has the Kasha that the Gemara says that even if it goes against her will, you still have to notify her about it. So Tais says, why are you notifying someone if you're doing it against their will? So Tais says a Yesod, that although it's against your will, there's still a concept of notification. Right? Like when your wife tells you, I'm going to spend X on my money, I'm just letting you know I'm doing it. I'm not asking permission, I'm doing it, right? When kids tell you things, they're not asking permission, they're telling you, I'm letting you know, I'm doing what I want anyways. So Taisu says you find such a concept in Bal Korcho. So it could be that's the pshat here also. Although Gerushin is Bal Korcho, there's still a mussig of being Maidia her what you're doing. Although it's not going to change the effect of the Chalois, because the Getz Chal Bal Korcho anyways, but there's da mussig you find that you notify the person of what you're doing even though it's against them. Okay, that's Taisu's and Kiddushin. What are some of the other Rishayim over here in the Sugya? So one of the big Rishayim over here is the Baal Amor, number 2C on the bottom right. The Baal Amor writes, why taka is shtar chayv no good? What's wrong with telling the lady I'm giving you a bill? So he writes, v'yesh lo hashif. T'nihi d'loy b'inan daito, you're right, I don't need her consent. Avo b'inan shiyotzi habal hashluchin b'piv la'achar k'sivis haget. Talk to Baal Amor, it's a new din, that you need to have an expression of the husband from his mouth after the get is written. B'inan she'iz b'inan hadover oy le'edem oy le'ish. Talk to Baal Amor, there's a din, he learns it from a pasuk. That is a din that you need to have an expression of divorce. It's not sufficient to write a get. It's not enough to hire a sefer to write a get. You have to express to somebody.
The Baal has.
The husband has to make an expression of his want to make a divorce. He doesn't say why. He doesn't say what's the purpose of this. But he says either to the husband or to the Edim. Why to the Edim? Because that's Pshat in the Gemara in Kedush Nafnan Hey. In Gemara in Git Nafnan Hey. The Gemara says if you say to the Edim first, that's good enough. Why? Because there was an expression. Who do I have to express it to? Not to her. It's either to her, the Edim or to her. What happens if I express it to myself? Right? You know, I stand in the mirror and I tell the mirror that I want to make a divorce. Is that sufficient? I don't know. It sounds like from this Baal Amor. This is again, this Baal Amor we talked about this last time elsewhere. Baruch Ber and Birkas Shmuel has two pieces.
Obviously, to the sofer, it's not enough.
Right, I'm assuming that. The question is, what's the significance of this? No, but he writes over this line of La'acha k'sivas haget. It has to be done after k'sivas haget, after the get's done. What exactly is the significance of this to me is not clear, and Baruch Ber discusses this at length, what role this does and what's the purpose of this. But this is the Baal Amor's pshat. Just to be Yaitse saying it over, we'll say the Baal Amor's pshat, that the Baal Amor learns the purpose of the Amira is a din. Is a din d'oraisa, so that there has to be an expression of the husband, either to the Edom or to the Isha, about his desire to make a get. The most positive pshat, one would suggest, that's due to the fact that we want to know he really wants to divorce her. That the fact that he hired a sefer, it could be at some point he decided, you know what, no, I don't want to divorce her. So that would sound like that, but other Rishayim, Mr. Mashba, that's not the pshat. It's more of a din d'oraisa. There's a cause of that you need an expression from the husband.
And is there a third party?
Huh? I don't know. What would happen if he told his best friend, right? And I'm not sure. I would assume that should be sufficient.
Sounds like it has to be something within the given
time. Right, it sounds like from the Baal Amor, it has to be someone who's...
So how long a period of time do you have to make this declaration?
Right, it's not clear.
Before you actually give it.
Yeah, it's very unclear. The problem that we need to talk about later is, in all these cases, when whatever you did was bad, it's clear from the Mishnah you don't have to give the get again. All you do is you say the right words and everything is fixed. How does that work? What happened to the fact that you have to connect the Nesina with the Amira? You can't have a break in between. You can't give the get at you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning and then 2 days later you'll make an Amira and put the two together. How does that work? So if there was something flawed with your Nesina and Amira, shouldn't everything have to be done again? So that's something we need to get to hopefully in a few minutes. The last pshat in the Rishayim, just to round out the old sugyo, is a Rajba. The Rajba writes, really quoting a Ravid, that the pshat over here is v'taima de masis niktoni amalok kentish tarchev zeh eino get yeshu farash b'shem de betulei botle. Because we think maybe the husband decided to be mevatel the get. Right, the husband's controlling the whole show over here. He makes the get, he breaks the get. So maybe when he went to the sefer, he was all excited about divorcing his wife, he was all ready to go. And then all of a sudden he realized, you know what, I don't want to divorce her. So what does he do? So instead of telling her, you know, happy anniversary, he tells her, hey, it's a shtarchev. So what the husband was really doing in his mind, he was being mevatel the get. He was taking this get that was a kosher get and undoing it. So until we know that the husband really wants to make the divorce, the get's no good. That's the way the Ravid learns the Gemara. He writes, "Baltul nesina zu shloi teikin nesina seget el rotzel sachik bo." He wants to play with her. He was making a joke with her or whatever. Other Rishayim say he's scared to tell her the truth, whatever it may be. So he's kind of just making up a story. Right? He changes mind. So frek the Baal Amor. Yeah, I don't know why he has just, you know, and that's why, maybe that's why the Rajba's adding, he wants to make a joke. He wants to, you know, play around with her also. So the Baal Amor asks on this Ravid, he says, 1 second, the Machlokes in the Gemara in Gittin, if a husband's Mevatel the get, can he then reuse that get again? A husband writes a get, he goes to the sefer, writes a get. He's Mevatel the get. Then he says, you know what, let's put the get back on. Can you do that? So there's a sheet in the Gemara that says you can't do that. So asks the Baal Amor, according to the Ravi, that's what's going on over here. The husband changed his mind, and then he re-changed his mind back, and it's the same get. How did that work? According to Reb Sheshes of Nachman, that's a problem. So the Tosfos Rosh answers, he says, no. The Pshat of the Rashi was not that he was Mevatel the get. We're misupik if he was Mevatel the get. We don't know. When he turns around and says to the lady, Hai Giteich, we now know that he never wanted to be Mevatel the get. Not the Pshat that he was Mevatel it, and when he says this is your get, he's putting the get back into play. It was Megala Lemafreya that he never really was Mevatel the get. Therefore, says the Tosfos Rosh, it's not a kasha. That's how the Tosfos Rosh wants to answer up. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Lefiza comes out of Big Chiddush LaHalacha. It comes out that according to the Rashba, it's not a Vade in a Megureshes. It's a Suffolk in a Megureshes. We don't really know that he annulled the get. We're not sure. So he learns that if a guy were to give a get to the lady and say to her, this is your Shtar Chayif, and then the get's no good. At that point right then, is it Daraisa no good? He says, no, it's a Suffolk. Because we're not sure if the husband was Mevatel or not Mevatel. He would need to get him a Suffolk, right? He writes, when the Mishnah says, ain't a get, it's not really true. It's not the pshat ain't a get, that's not a get at all. It's a suffix. Because according to the Ravitz pshat, we don't know what's running through his mind. We don't know if he was Mevatel or he wasn't Mevatel. That doesn't sound like the way the Rashba says it. It sounds like from the Rashba it's pretty clear. Yesh b'shum de betulei batle. It sounds like he was Mevatel. Not the way the Tosfos Rosh understood that maybe he was Mevatel. It sounds like from the Rashba that he clearly was Mevatel. That's a machoik is how to understand these Rashi.
So, what happens now? He gives her a get, he tells her it's a shtachay.
Right.
Says to the agent that it's a get. She doesn't know that it's a get. She goes home and he lives with her. What's the status of the get?
So at that moment, according to most Rishonim, it's not a get. She's not divorced. Now, according to the Ravid, it might be a suffix get. Now, what happens is, after he does all this, he then says to her, you know what, this is really a get. So then the get's chal. So it could be the get's chal mafreya. According to the Tosfos Rosh, the get won't be chal from the time when he says, this is your get. The get will be chal mafreya from the time when he gave it. So that'll be enough committed to the case that you're bringing up.
Don't you have the same problem that you said? Did you have the Nesina?
No, because we didn't know it was a good Nesina, but Hovah Adam Afreya, this was a good Nesina. We thought it wasn't because we didn't know what he wanted, but now we know what he wanted. The Rambam Shita. Let's talk about the Rambam Shita for a little bit. Yeah, all the way back up on number 3, the Rambam Shita. Yeah, the Rambam writes like this. U'minayin she'enei noisen lo ela b'teres gerishin. How do you know you can only give a get b'teres gerishin? Whatever that means. Shenemach, it says in the pasuk, Sefer Krisus, V'nosim B'yoda. It says in the Torah, you should write a Sefer Krisus, V'nosim B'yoda, and you should put it into her hand. She'yitin oisei b'teres Sefer Krisus. It needs to be given as a Sefer Krisus. There is no such drush like that in the Gemara. Right? The Rambam made it up. No such drush anywhere in the Gemara like that. That's how the Rambam understood the Psukim. When the Torah says, because of La Sefer Krisus V'nosim B'yoda, the Rambam understood on his own, on his Yediyah, that the Pasuk means is what? What does the Pasuk mean? It means that you need to give a B'toiras Sefer Krisus. Now, what exactly do these words mean, B'toiras Sefer Krisus? As a purpose of a Sefer Krisus. Talk to Rambam. But if you give it with any other background information, you tell her it's a shtar choif, a mezuzah. You tell her it's a mezuzah. I should not be other. I don't know why the Rambam had to add the case of mezuzah. I don't know why what the Mishnah gave us two cases. I should not be other v'yishena, or you give her a case where she's sleeping. The Rambam put sleeping in the same category as a shtar choif. That we need to talk about today. That was really what the shtar choif was supposed to be about. V'nu'ur, then she wakes up v'arehu be other, and it's still in her hand. Ain't a get. But if afterwards she'll tell her, by the way, this is your get, so the Rambam hareze get.
But is the reason for it not being good in case of mezuzah or shachov is because it's not giving the Torah's creases, but
sleeping.
Giving it to sleeping.
Okay, good.
A different reason.
So that's what we're going to talk about later. Hopefully today we'll talk about sleeping in the second part of the show.
Say she's divorced if she read again. He left out the word reading.
Right, he doesn't say if she reads it because it doesn't matter.
So she did read it, she knows she's divorced.
But it's still too late. She has to know about it at the time. Again, the Rambam is not Meshubit to learn like Tosfos. Rav Soloveitchik thinks, and we'll talk hopefully more about it, he thinks the Rambam and Tosfos are similar, but there's a big difference between the two of them. But right, the Rambam seems to be learning its exerus akasav. There's a din that when you give a get, it has to be clear what you're giving it as. Why? The question of the Rambam is why? Who needs to know Torah's Sefer Krisus? Who is it for? Is it for the husband? Or is it for the wife? Who is it for? Which party needs to know this?
Well, if it has to be understand, if it has to be clear at the time you give it, why does it work if you give it as a shtar chov and then later on change your mind? At the time you gave it, it wasn't clear.
Oh, good. That's what we're going to have to
do. Not only wasn't it clear, it was definitive that it wasn't.
Right. So that's what we need to talk about. This is the question. How does everything work afterwards? If at the time when you gave it, you made a faulty nesina, You can't fix it with an amir later. You have to make a new nesina. So it's clear from the Mishnah, you don't have to. We have to try to figure out why.
Why is an amir later is any worse than if he says shtarfav and then 10 minutes later says, no, it's really a get and it's a good get?
Because so I would have thought...
If Shana and she, there's no civic reason, whatever.
I, yeah.
Then she wakes up and reads it. So that's just like him saying to her...
Right, so I would have thought Yeshana is a lot better. Because in the case of Yeshana, you probably said to her, it's a get. She wasn't listening. You made it very clear what you're doing. We all know what you're doing. Right, so that's what I have to talk about. Okay. The problem with the Rambam Shita is that the Rambam writes in another place, what happens if you give a get and you say nothing? You don't say anything. You give a b'shtika. The Rambam there writes, it gets posim with the Rabban. So here, the Achreinim have a kasha, like Chemishna and others, you say, one second. You give a get, but shtika, it gets possible with the Rabbanan. You give the get with a shtar chayv, it's possible with the Reisa. Mm-hmm. If Amir is an integral part of the Nesina, so you're missing it in both situations. Shtika, you're also missing it. Why is shtika only chsarim the Rabbanan, yet bad talk is a chsarim the Reisa? What's the difference? If the Rambam sheet is the way the Rambam writes, you need to have what's called a safer krisis. So when you give a get quietly, where's the Nesina b'tera safer krisis? It's quiet, no one knows what's going on.
Where would it fit if she was deaf?
That, I think, would fit according to Tosfos, maybe. I think according to the Rambam...
But is that shtika, or is it that...
No, I think shtika means... When we're watching... Again, according to the Rambam, it depends on who needs to know the Sefer Krisis. So if you learn, like the way some learn, Pshach learns, like that, and Avi Ezri, that it might be mitzad Isha. The Isha is the one who has to know. Then a deaf lady wouldn't have a problem. But if it's, let's say, mitzad the husband... He has to make this declaration. He needs to declare this a safer krisis. So he did it. But when he's quiet, he also doesn't do that. So why there does the Rambam write the gets only possible to Rabbanan, and here they get possible to the Reis? This is the kasha that the Mishnah asks. So the Avdei Miluim answers, he says no. Because when you give a get and you're quiet, the get speaks for itself. The Shtivri Hashtar fulfill the role of being a safer krisis. Which is somewhat of a chiddush because Memanashach. If you hold safer krisis, doesn't need your amira, so they never need your amira. But the way the Beis Shmuel and Avdei Miluim say is, if you give a get quietly, so then there's no talk. When there's no talk, we use the talk of the words. The words talk louder than anyone else. So the words say get. So that's a terrible safer krisis. But once you start piping up words and you start saying things, so now whatever's on the paper doesn't get the attention that it deserves. Now we'll look at what you said. What you said is not a safer krisis. It ruins the get, even on a deraisa level.
Sleep is a problem.
Ah, so if he's asleep, the chayru shouldn't have that problem. Sleep, let it be, let the get do the talking. That's a big kasha. Well, or if not, any case where the husband just doesn't say anything bad, doesn't say anything wrong, then let the get do the talking. If the get does the talking, you're good. That's a kasha we need to talk about.
So why does the first part of the mission say Achiyoma?
Because he does.
What do you mean? It says Achiyoma lo harigitech. Here you're saying that the get speaks for itself.
Because over here he said shtar chayv. He ruined it. Because in our case of the mission, he started off saying that it's not a, it's a shtar chayv.
Right.
So right away, we don't let the get talk for itself because he ruined it by talking negative. So the only way you fix that is by having another amira that makes the Torah safe for Christians.
But where's the get itself?
Right.
In the case, he didn't say anything.
Right, okay, we're going to talk about it. The case of Matzah Semecherev, we'll get to in Yeshana, we'll hopefully get to sometime today. Of Matzah Semecherev? Yeah, we're going to have to talk about Matzah Semecherev. It's funny, the Gemara itself, when it talks about the whole Mishnah, it only talks about the case of the get behind her. It doesn't talk about sleeping, it doesn't talk about anything. That all the Rishonim talk about. The Gemara itself only talks about the case of Matzah Semecherev. But that seems to be the Rambam Shita. The Rambam had a Svara that I guess he learned it into the Pesukim that when it says in the Torah, the Kos of La Sefer Krisis, Nasim Yoda, it means you have to give it as a Sefer Krisis. Someone has to declare it or let it be self understood from the words that this is a gift. Okay, this was a Hakhtama to get into today's Shir. Now that we understand a little bit of the background behind what's wrong with Shtar Choyv, what's wrong with this, now we can try to tackle the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if she's sleeping. It says the Mishnah, Nasim Biyodah V'Hiyashena, you give the get to the lady and she's sleeping, and the Ura, she wakes up, Karim, she reads the Varehugita, ain't a get. It's not a good get until you say to her, Hagitech. What's wrong with sleeping? What chasarin is there in the case of Ne'ura when she's sleeping? So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim to what is so bad about a case when she's sleeping. So if you look in the Rush number 4, the Rush reads like this. Omar lo kinti shtachev zeh ishe matzasa mecheir of karev ahuigita in a get, ach yom la hagitach, nasan lo vihi yishon an ura karev ahuigita in a get, ach yom la hagitach. Why? Zok the Rush, the gora mecheresheth. A sleeping lady is worse than a lady who can't hear. The yishon are less bo das klal. Because someone who is sleeping has no das whatsoever. What does that mean? She has no das. But so what? So the way most people learn the Rosh learns that you can't divorce a sleeping lady. She's not in the parish of divorce. She doesn't have any das. Although Gerushin is Bal Karcha, and you don't need her consent, you need her to have das. So therefore, since she doesn't have das, while she's the moment that she's sleeping, during those moments of sleep, you can't create a Chalitz Gerushin. That's the way they read this line in the Rosh, less but das klal. She has no understanding whatsoever. She has no comprehension. She, at that time, is not with us. Therefore, you can't divorce a woman who is sleeping. Therefore, if you give the get when she's sleeping, the chasaron is not the fact that she doesn't know what's going on. It's not the chasaron because you didn't relay the message. It's practically, technically, you can't divorce a sleeping lady because she has no das, and without das, you can't make chalitz gerush, which is a chiddush. Even though you don't need her consent, as if it's in consent and das. To be a bar das means you have to have a certain amount of knowledge. Consent just means whether or not I agree to it.
They're two. Worse than a chareshes, is it not because she could consent even though
so here's where things get interesting. The Rosh added a couple of words over here. The Rosh wrote that she's worse than a chareshes. Why is she worse than a chareshes? A chareshes is a girl who's deaf. So why is this?
She has das.
So Pashup Shah, you learn in the Rosh that she has whereabouts. Right, even though in halachic she's the same thing. But if you look in the Karban Nisano, the Karban Nisano learned this Rosh totally different. The Karban Nisano writes, the Gara Mechareshes, the Chareshes Yoidas Lishmar Gita. So the Karban Nisano, we misunderstood the Rosh. The Rosh doesn't mean Ein Lo Das means she has no whereabouts to make a Chalish Gershon. Ein Lo Das means she has no Das to watch her get. The Halach is, you have to watch your get. It has to be Mishtameris. If the get is not protected or watched, the get's no good. So when you give a get to a sleeping person, they're not watching anything. It's completely not watched. Anyone can come and steal it. So the Karban Nisano learned in the Rosh, she's worse than a Chareshes because a Chareshes, although she doesn't have halachic das, she can prevent someone from stealing something from her. She can fight him off, whatever it is. But a sleeping person has absolutely no ability to protect themselves.
And that has to be at the Shas Nisino. At the Shas Nisino. She's going to go to sleep.
Right. So at the time of the Nisino, we're going to talk more about this, it has to be given to a Makom Meshumer. And a sleeping person is not considered a Makom Meshumer. So it could be that's a Chasar and a Makom Meshumer. So according to the Karban Nisano's reading of the Rosh, it's not because she lacks das to make a chalitz gerushin. It's because she's not watching the get in a proper way to make the get a makom mishum.
And where you get that, it has to be...
These are gemaras that we'll have to talk about more.
That's also gzeiros
hakatzar. Yeah, these are drushes that... Well, again, it gets a little tricky because we're going to talk about both chatzar and yad. You need to have a yad that's mishtamer, and you have to have a chatzar that's mishtamer. This takes us back to the old sugyas of chatzar and yad, which we'll deal with hopefully sometime today. That's the Rosh Hashita, depending on how you learn the Rosh. If you look in the Rashba, the Rashba is much more clear on how he understood the sugya. The Rashba starts off like this. Pirish. Afal pisha omar lehem le'edim ro'u get shani noisin la. The Rashba starts off with an assumption in this Gemara. That when you give the get to the sleeping lady, where's your ma'isa amira? Every get needs an amira. We learned that from Mishnah ma'isa sheni. And without an amira, you can't give a get b'shtika. So what do you say to the girl who's sleeping? Where's your ma'isa amira? So the Rashba, I made a ma'isa amira. I told it to Edim, guys, listen. I'm about to give her a get. They say, okay, great. They put it in the bed where she's sleeping. Says the Mishnah, that's not a good get. Says Rashba, why not? If I do the exact same thing with her shtar chayv, it works. The Gemara says, enough in getting noon, hey, I go over to the Edom and tell him, listen, guys, I'm giving her a get. Here it goes. And he says, shtar chayv, it's a good get. So why by sleeping is it any different?
Does the Edom have to know or the woman has to know?
One second. The Gemara says, if you tell the Edom before giving the get that you're giving a get, no matter what you say after that, doesn't matter, the get's chal. So the Rashba says, if in my case, or if I go over to the sleeping lady, I say over to the Edom, listen guys, here's a get. I say, go over to the lady, I don't wake her up, Chas v'shalom, Gezel Shein, I'm very makbid, I tuck it in her arm, Zakti Mishnah, no good. Says Rashba, why no good? The same way he fixed it for Shtar Chayv, shouldn't have fixed it here. So Rashba says, nothing doing. They're two different chesrainis. He writes, Af b'shalom alam le'edim roget, sh'ani nesla m'shem d'la b'asigushi, l'fi sh'ein haget shomer b'yodo. The problem over here is not the fact that you didn't express a divorce or you didn't show us you want to make a divorce. The problem over here is she can't watch her get. And that doesn't help by saying to the Edom, Aval Eloi Amalu Le'edim Ro'u Get Shani Nosim Lo'zok to Rashba, if I wouldn't first say to the Edom, of course it gets no good. Even if she'd be awake, it gets no good because you need a Maisa Amir. So it's clear from the Rashba, two Chidushim. Chidush number one, according to the Rashba, if you turn to the Edom and tell the Edom first, guys, listen, I'm letting you know, I'm giving her a get, you tuck it into her arm, the get's still no good. Which we'll see, there's a sheet of a Ramah, the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah holds that if you go over to the Edom first, you tell, listen, I'm about to divorce this sleeping lady. They say, okay, you tuck in her arm, it gets chal. That's the chiddush of the Ramah. The Rashba disagrees. And the second chiddush of the Rashba. What?
The Rashba and the Rosh are the same, no?
The Rashba and the Rosh, depending on how you learn the Rosh. Right, right. Karmen Asana and Rosh, they're the same shot. Yeah, 100%. But if most people don't learn the Rosh like this Karmen Asana, I'm not really sure why. I think they might have missed it. But the Rosh, they don't like the words because what's the Rosh? Less but das klal. Das, that sounds like not you can't watch it. It means like you're lacking more than that. Mm-hmm. So I'll prove to you in the Lashonim that the Rishonim are very unclear what they mean. Because again, you can use the words aimed by das in two ways. It means you have no das to make a divorce, or you have no das to watch the get. I think the words are very vague. And I'll prove it to you, because look at the end of the Rashba. The first half of the Rashba, I think we're not going to debate. How did the Rashba learn? He wrote, the fish ain't I get shomer biyada. Now, if you look at the end of the Rashba, the last piece of Rashba, he writes, v'loy mishum dibin in daito, you don't need her consent, el she'en gita shomer biyada. The get's not controlled. Kedamino v'giriyah mechareshes. The chareshes yadas l'shmargita. A chareshes could at least protect her get. U'mishum hachi yesh lo yad l'hiskarish. Therefore, she has a hand. Avozu ein lo yad klal. She has no yad at all. Kol zman she yishana. So if I were to learn the end of that Rashba, I said, hey, she has no yad. That sounds like she can't be mekabel get. It sounds like she can't make chalais gerushin. But if you look at the beginning of the Rashba, you see clearly that's not what he meant. He just meant that she can't protect the get. So when you go back to the Rosh and you see the lashonis in the Rosh of, you know, ein but das klal, you have to ask yourself, does that mean she has no das to watch the get? Or that means that she stumbles and has no das to b'chalal comprehend what's going on?
Does the chareshes here have to know that it's actually get that she's holding on to?
Yeah, yeah. She would have to know. The chiddush of it is that even though she's not necessarily like a regular person to be able to control it, she has enough control to be able to create the chalais gerushin.
But she knows it's a get.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is her head not acting like a chatzar?
So we're going to get to that. A chatzar also has to be watched. Again, if she can't watch when she's sleeping,
yeah.
So who's watching the chatzar? No one's watching it. She lives, you know, she lives by herself. So she's sleeping, so the security guard is sleeping. So who's left? So you want to tell me that chatzar is intrinsically watched. Okay, we'll have to get to that. We'll talk about that hopefully today, if not next week, this idea of how do you protect the chatzar. The Ramban, I think, is the most mefurish. I think, if Salvechik went like that also in the Ramban, that the Ramban is the most mefurish, not like the Rashba. He's the most mefurish in the way most people learn the Rosh. That the chson over here, that she can't make gerushin. The Ramban writes like this, V'yesheinu nami la bas igrushehu, a sleeping woman is not bas gerushin, she'ein lo yad liskois beget. She has no yad to be zoich in the get. That sounds more than just the fact that she can't watch the get. That sounds like she has no ability to be kind of the get. Even though, again, the Ramban also throws around these words of Yeshlo. I think the Ramban is the most clearest in the Rishonim, that he learned, like the way Achrayim learned the Rambam, the Rosh, that the problem of it is she can't make Chalois Gerushim because she's sleeping. That's the way of Salvechik also learned the Ramban, and that's the words. She'ein lo yad. She has no yad to be zeichin the get. Why? Not because she's not watching the get. That wouldn't affect her ability to be kind of the get. That would affect her ability to protect the get and make the get chal. Here the Ramban is saying she can't be kind of the get. She has no yad. Why? What? You don't need a kinyan, but you have to be able to be in... You have to have a... Right, so again, he also throws in the comparison, like the Rosh did. Yeah, this is hard to me. Hard for me to understand exactly why the Rishayim throw in Chareshes and how they contrast it. The problem is going to arise is, if you learn, like the Ramban, for example, that the problem is you gave it to a non-existing person. As far as Hilchos Gerushin is concerned, she's not in the parish of Gerushin. So you gave her a get. That Nesina was worthless. Then you say later to her, Hagiteich, why is it not a good old-fashioned problem of Tligiteich me'agabe karka? You made a bad Nesina, and then you fixed it up by making an Amira. Why is that okay? If I go over to a lady and I throw the get in the middle of the Rishon Sram, say, hey, go take your get. That's not a Nesina. You have to make an Venasan liyodah. I gave it to a person who's not considered anything. I gave it to a human being who doesn't have any halacha for Gerushin. So how is that a fulfillment of Venasan liyodah? Why shouldn't it be a problem of Tligiteich me'agabe karka? That's the kasha that the Achrayim deal with according to these Rishonim. So the question is this a kasha on all Rishonim, or is it only on some of the Rishonim?
Wait, who says you don't have to do another Maisis?
Mishnah says, you just say Hagitech.
In the case
of Ne'ura. She reads it, and you say to her, Hagitech. So there's no Nunasina given in the Mishnah. So why is there no Nunasina given? So there's two ways you can ask this kasha. You can ask this kasha on everyone, or you can only ask this kasha on the Ramban. For example, if you learn like the Rashba, that the problem over here is not that she doesn't have a yad, she's just not watching it, would that be considered a bad Nesina? Or would that just be a technical problem that's not guarded? Once you make it guarded, now everything is good? Or no, even according to the Rashba, you made a bad Nesina because you gave the Nesina in a way that's not protected. That's a bad Nesina. Bad Nesina needs to fix Nesina. You got to give it again. So that's what we're going to see, that the Achrayim seem to have asked it in a couple of different ways. For example, we'll get to the Machan Ephraim. Before the Machan Ephraim, Rav Salvechik points out that the Tosfos that we started out with at the beginning of the Sugya, that Tosfos explains sleeping also. Soloveitchik learned that according to Tosfos, the same way a woman who thinks it's a shtar chayiv is not a good get, a lady who's sleeping, she doesn't know. When you gave it to her, she was sleeping. She did not know not to get, not to come home. As far as she was concerned, she knew nothing. So at the time of the nesina, you made the nesina in a way that the person has no idea that they're divorced, which is true, because she was sleeping. So therefore, if Soloveitchik learned that according to that Tosfos, that's the same issue by sleeping. When you give the get to a person who's sleeping, you gave it in a way the person had no idea that they were divorced, and therefore it's a chasaron of mishal chavein echazars. So that's the conclusion of the Rishonim and how they learned the issue. And then the last pshat is the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam learned that the chasaron over here is what? That sleeping is the same problem as a shtar chayv, which we all asked. That doesn't seem to make sense. Why is sleeping the same problem as a shtar chayv? The chayv is sleeping, you said something, you made a declaration. Why is it the same thing as shtar chayv? So let's talk about the Rambam Shita for a second. The Rambam says if you give a get to a lady who's sleeping, the get's no good. What would happen if you said to the Eidim first, guys, I'm going to give her a get, and I'll put it in her pocket. Is that good? So if you look in the Rambam, I cut it off, but if you look in the Rambam number 3, Halacha Yud starts off, Oma le'edim ru'u get sh'ani nasan la, v'chaz v'om la kinti shtar chayv zeh. The Rambam discusses, what happens if instead of, in the case of shtar chayv, before you tell her to shtar chayv, you told the Eidim it's a good get. So he told the Eidim, which is the Gemara in Gittin Afnan Hay, the Rambam Paskins, then it's a good get. So the Echreinim want to know, what would the Rambam hold in the case by sleeping? If in the case of sleeping, you first go over to the Eidim and tell them, listen guys, it's sleeping, I'm giving her a get, then you give it to a sleeping lady, would the get be good or not? So we saw the Rashba says, in that case, it doesn't help. So this is a very big machloikis Rishonim, does it help or not? So there's a machloikis Echreinim, handled in the Shittas Rambam. Reb Shach and Aviez, we learns that the Rambam would hold that it does work. The same way the Rambam lumps together shtar choyv with sleeping. So when the Rambam in the next halacha says that by shtar choyv it helps to say the Eidim first, so writes Rav Shach, it would also help to do the same thing by sleeping. That's Rav Shach's conclusion.
What's the Havamina that if we agree that the Rambam would hold that if you go to the Eidim first and say, I'm going to give her a get, then you go to her and you say, here's a shtar choyv.
Right.
So you contradict what you told the Eidim.
Right.
But that would be a good get.
Right.
So what's the Havamina that if you tell them I'm going to give her a get, and then you go and you give her the get without saying anything, but she's sleeping, that why would that be any worse?
So you tell the Eidim, you didn't tell
the
Eidim.
You told the Eidim.
Right. So that's what Reb Shach understood. He understood that if the Rambam lumps the two together, although they're very different, we all agree sleeping is different than Ashtar Chayv, the Rambam would tell you they're both okay. That's the way Reb Shach was Madaik in the Rambam.
But what's the Havamina that they wouldn't do? One, you're contradicting
because,
yourself.
Because if Soloveitchik disagreed. If Soloveitchik felt, no. If the Rambam felt that it's true, he should have spoken out. The fact that the Rambam only spoke out, telling the Eidim, in a case of Shtar Choyv, and not in a case of sleeping, if Soloveitchik held, that's because he held it's not true. He held that the Rambam draw a distinction between telling the Eidim by sleeping and telling the Eidim by Shtar Choyv. Very interesting, you started thinking about Choykes Achreinim and how to understand the Rambam.
Well, what's the other side?
We're going to get to that in a second.
It should be the opposite.
What's the other side?
Yeah?
What is the Rambam's case in Halakha Tessa? I mean, it seems like the Rashba is right that if there's no Eidim, the Eidim have no idea what's going on, then who cares? Then the whole thing is nothing.
It's no worse than Shtika, you mean?
No, if there's no Eidim, the fact that in Halakha Yud, the Rambam specifies that he doesn't know what's going on. He's Halakha Tessa. He did not tell the Eidim what's going on. If the Eidim have no, if there's no Eidim, or the Eidim don't know what's going on,
right,
then it's a nothing. Who cares? Awake, asleep. Exactly what the Rashba, how he introduces it.
So clearly, right. The Rashba argues on the Rambam, at least one version of the Rambam.
But how do you understand the Rambam?
Well, it depends. How did the Rambam understand the Chasaron? How did the Rambam learn what's wrong with Yishana?
If the Eidim don't know what's going on, then there's nothing. And the Rashba's
But what's wrong with giving a get when she's sleeping? What's the problem?
But even if she's awake, if he didn't tell the Eidim.
But the Rambam will tell you, like we saw in Avdei Miluim, that the words will speak for you. That's what we said earlier.
When so the Eidim could witness the Gerush and have no idea what's going on.
Right, that's what it sounds like. The Rambam will tell you that the word. No? Yeah. By Kedushin, that would never fly, right? Because by Kedushin, right, they're making the Chalois. So what's this machlokes b'gedoy lechrein between what we'll call Reb Shach and Reb Soloveitchik? Reb Shach understood in the Rambam Shita that sleeping and Shtar Chayv are the same. So how do you understand the Rambam? If the case of sleeping and the case of Shtar Chayv are the same, so how do you learn the Rambam? He had to have learned the Rambam. The Rambam learned it was all about the husband. We don't know what the husband wants to do. So when the husband gives a Shtar Chayv, we don't know what he wants to do. When he gives it to the lady sleeping, maybe also we don't know what he wants to do. But if he says to the Eidim first, I'm telling you what I want to do, we now know what he wants to do. That's one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is that the Rambam will tell you that that makes it a sefer krisus. By expressing to somebody that it's a sefer krisus, now it becomes a sefer krisus. The fact that I told somebody that this is a get, that now makes the get a sefer krisus.
So even though I later say it's not a sefer krisus,
right. Even though
it's a sefer krisus,
right, because I said it earlier.
No, there's no going back. He can't be mavatal
right, something right. According to him, the pshat over here is that, I don't know why you don't run into, you know, osi diba mavatal diba issues. You know, what I mean to say is that, you know, what was my ikar amir? My first amir or my second amir? Which is my main amir? The only thing is, according to this, it comes out that the Rambam is really the same thing as Tosfos. You know, similar to Tosfos a little bit of understanding what the role over here is. You know, again, you could have learned the Rambam that the Rambam meant that we want to get the message to her. So therefore, if you tell the Eidim first, the Eidim will relay the message to her. So if she's sleeping, the Eidim will tell her. If she thinks it's a bill, the Eidim will tell her. So then the Rambam is mamish, exactly like Tosfos. He's the exact same shot as Tosfos.
The Rambam seems more fundamental.
Exactly. The Rambam doesn't sound like it's a technical problem. It sounds like it's a din and how to define a nesinus haget. Now, if Soloveitchik disagreed with this way of learning the Rambam, he read the Rambam differently. He thought the Rambam held, not like that. He thought the Rambam held that by sleeping, it does not help to tell the Eidim first. Only by Shtar Choyf. Because the words he uses is that you need to have an Asina in a situation where it's Ra'oi for an Asina. A lady who's sleeping is not in the parsha of Gershon. So the fact that I made an Amira to the Eidim doesn't help. Because I gave the Nesina to a lady who's not in the parsha of Gershon. She's sleeping. She's out of the parsha. A lady who's awake and ready to get divorced, if she knew she was divorced, so then that's considered she's in the parsha of Gershon. Just she lacks Yediyah. So that Yediyah can either come from the Eidim or the Nesina is sufficient. But when you give the get to a sleeping woman, the Rambam held that that's a lady who's not in the parsha of Gershon. So therefore, if Soloveitchik held that telling to the Eidim doesn't help, you still made an Asina to a woman who's not in the Parsha of Gersh.
It sounds like Yad, then there's no Yad.
That would sound like that Pshat, that the Chassan, she's removed from the Parsha of Gersh. The only problem then is, if so, if you say to her, Hagitech, why is it not a problem? If your Asina was so bad, you should have to make a new Asina. That's the Kasha that the Echraim deal with. So the Machan Ephraim, we'll start with the Machan Ephraim. Machan Ephraim clears an interesting Shaila. Let's say I want to give a gift to my friend. I want to give him a watch. So I walk by his house, and he's sitting outside on his front lawn, sleeping, enjoying the nice weather. I walk over to him, I take the watch, I put it in his pocket. Put it on his arm, sleeping, alcohol, sleeping. Would he be koine that watch while he's sleeping? So I cleared the machane Ephraim Mishael.
When you suppose to when he wakes up?
As opposed to, right, I guess if he wakes up, you have to make, I mean, let's say someone in between comes and steals it. Right. This guy has the watch in his pocket. Some guy walks by and says, oh, this is easy.
You find out that it's really worth $1 million.
Or whatever, so and you want to go back and take it. Right, whatever the case may be, right? Whatever it's the gay to, you want to come back and you want to know, was it chal, the nesinas matana, for the duration of the time that he was sleeping?
But so normally when you give somebody his matana, other than Shabbos issues, you have a mind to give it to him. Is it in your himamash has to make a kinyan?
So generally, the assumption, we know there's something called Dasa Cheres Machna, which always makes things easier. So but at the end of the day, the assumption would be you still need to have a...
You can't force him to accept it.
Yeah, it has to be some...
But let's say you give it to him. Does he have to do a Maizik kinyan, like pick it up or this?
Normally, yes. Normally, you would assume. But here, it's kind of, it's kinyan yad. Here, it's Ein Lecha kinyan, simpler than that, because it's very... Same thing. It's on him. So the Machan Ephraim says, this was the Galus of the Machan Ephraim. Right away, what's the first thing that jumps into his mind is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is negated to this Shaila. How on earth is our Mishnah negated to this Shaila? Because our Mishnah talks about a case of a lady who's sleeping. So right away, the Machan Ephraim thinks to connect this to our Mishnah. And the Machan Ephraim says, he quotes the Machlokes Rishonim, and it's interesting, he quotes a Rashba. And he learned the Rashba, the way he learned the Rashba that the Pshat wasn't because... He learned the Rashba not like the Karban Asana. He learned the Rashba not the way we learned the Rashba, where he had a different Rashba. He learned the Rashba, Pirish, the Yeshana Ein La Yad Klal. He learned the Rashba that the chasarn by sleeping is that she has no yad at all. That was not the way we learned the Rashba. That's the way we learned the Rosh. The Rashba we learned because she can't watch her get. Either the Machan Ephraim had a different Rashba, or he learned the Rashba differently than we saw it. But he learned the Rashba that the chasarn by sleeping is that she has no yad. And the other Rishonim learned because she can't guard the get. So frek the Machan Ephraim, why isn't it Tligidech Me'agah Bekarka? He asks it on both Rishonim. And either way you learn the Mishnah, the chasarn with sleeping should be a problem of Tligidech Me'agah Bekarka. You made a Nesina in a way where the Nesina was flawed. If the Nesina is no good, you have to make a new Ma'is in Nesina. Why is it Mavor in the Mishnah you don't have to make a new Ma'is in Nesina?
Is it a Yad that's not Mishtamer is the same as
So that's going to be the answer. So we'll leave everyone on a cliffhanger what the Machan Ephraim's answer is. But just next week we'll get more into the sugya of this kind.